In 1 Kings chapter 19, it's a very familiar story, but verse 1 says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So just speak to somebody here right now. You've got a great future ahead. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. For just a few moments tonight, I do feel like God's given me something, and I want to talk to us about when the mighty grow weary. When the mighty grow weary. Amen. God's going to help some of us today who've been weary. Would you just ask the Lord to do it? Lord, you know exactly where we're at and what we're going through and what we've been facing, and you see the weariness, you see the heaviness, but I believe, Lord, you're going to deliver today, and there's going to be joy. I believe there's going to be peace. I believe there's going to be victory in this house today, because Lord, you have a great work for us to do. You are not finished with us. Lord, I believe there's more. I believe there's more for this church. I believe there's more for these that are here today. I trust you, Lord. And we're going to stand on your word and your promises today as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Please be seated today. I really feel today that maybe this was the last kind of thing that you were expecting, but for somebody, I believe that you've, like Elijah, you've been finding yourself in a cave. And there's lots of caves that we can get into. Maybe it's a cave of depression. Maybe it's a cave of fear. Maybe it's a cave of worry and anxiety. The cave may be where we're at today, but if we can tune out the noise, all of the noise around us for a few moments, I believe that we're going to hear a still small voice, a still small voice of the Lord saying, What are you doing in that cave? It's time to come out. I've got more for you. I've got more for you. Elijah was no beginner. He was not a beginner. We're not talking about somebody who was an immature believer. This was Elijah. This is the same one who had confronted the evil king Ahab. He said there would be no rain, but according to his word, and then for 3 years there was no rain. That's a man of God right there. And it's direct proof of the power of God and the impotence of the false god Baal, who supposedly was the God who gave rain and produced life and fertility, but for 3 years there was no rain. So that's the Elijah we're talking about here today. It's the same one who, during that drought, he was led by God to hide himself by a little stream called Cherith, and he was fed by ravens and drank from the stream, and God preserved him through that time of punishment of Israel. When the widow of Zarephath had all but given up, and she was gathering a few sticks so that she could bake a little cake with the last of the meal and the last of the oil that she had, and then she was just prepared to die. But it was Elijah that came on the scene and said, "Bake me a little cake first, and then one for you and your son. For the Lord says, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until it rains again." And so she did so, putting God first in her life. And the meal kept lasting and the oil kept flowing, according to the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. When the woman's son got sick and died, Elijah carried him up into his room and he cried unto the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. This is that same Elijah who called for a showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he stood alone against a total of 850 false prophets, but God answered his prayer with fire from heaven. And Elijah took the false prophets, the prophets of Baal, he took them down to the brook Kishon, and he killed them there. And you say, well, that's drastic, but he was obeying God's command to destroy false prophets. And next he prayed that rain would come again, and it did. For 3 years, God took it away at Elijah's word, but now God gives the rain again in response to his prayer. And he was a mighty man of God. He was no amateur. Elijah was not a rookie. He was a mighty prophet. If anyone should have been on a spiritual high, it should have been Elijah at this moment. To see the power of God move in such a great way, to be right in the middle of what God was doing, to call down fire from heaven, what an awesome experience. But we see a dramatic transition from the victory on the mountaintop to the text we read here today. And King Ahab, he goes and tells Jezebel all that had happened and all that Elijah had done. And Jezebel sends a messenger, says, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I don't kill you by this time tomorrow." And so what does Elijah do? What's the response of this mighty man of God? He goes on the run. He goes a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sits down under a juniper tree, and he cries, "If only I could just die. I've done enough. I can't do any more good. Just let me die." Talk about coming down off the mountaintop. God had just done some of the most awesome things that we read about in the Bible. He had delivered. He had backed Elijah up. The false prophets had been killed. The Lord had answered his prayer with fire from heaven. But now Elijah's world comes shattering apart after one little negative report from Jezebel. People who do great things for God will fight battles that nobody sees. Elijah was mighty. Elijah was mighty, but he was weary. How do you go from calling down fire to wanting to give up? "It's enough, Lord. Just take away my life." How does that happen? Mighty people get weary too. Being great for God doesn't mean that we don't ever struggle. Being anointed does not mean that we never get tired. Walking by faith doesn't mean that we never have to deal with fear. And just because we had a victory on the mountaintop yesterday doesn't mean that we might be in a battle today. Come on, God has spoken some things into my spirit this week, and I believe he wants to expose the lie of the enemy that's trying to tell somebody, if you were really where you needed to be with God, you wouldn't be depressed. That's what he's telling you right now. If you were really a Christian, you wouldn't be battling some of this stuff you're going through. If you were really great in the kingdom, you wouldn't have fear and anxiety and worry that's coming against you. That's a lie from the enemy. In fact, because you are a child of God, that's why you're going through some of those things. That's why you're facing some of the depression and some of the fear and some of the heartache. Because you have such potential inside of you, that's why it always seems like you're under attack. It's because of the great things God has called you to that you deal with oppression and fear and depression and attacks on your mind and attacks in your health and things in your family. You wonder why your marriage seems under attack. It's because if God can use you, the devil realizes if he can pull you apart, he can stop what God's trying to do. The battle you're going through is evidence that God's hand is working in you. The enemy doesn't fight his own. He's going to fight somebody who has potential in the kingdom of God. And if we're in a tight spot today, I believe we need to take courage. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice." What? "Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Somebody's going through it today, but somehow you need to turn this thing around and you need to start rejoicing. Because it's evidence that God has a work for you. It's evidence that you have a great journey ahead. It's evidence that the power of God is flowing in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, we look for discouragement after defeat. That's when we expect it. We look for discouragement after defeat. But we may fight our greatest battles after the victory. After the breakthrough. After the revival. When the adrenaline wears off, after everybody else goes home, and it's just us, Elijah had given everything he had physically, spiritually, emotionally. Sometimes the battle after the battle is harder than the battle itself. Fire had fallen. The people had cried out, "The Lord, he is God." The false prophets had been defeated. Elijah prayed, and 3 years of drought ended with a rainstorm. Then almost immediately, we see Elijah running into the wilderness. Sometimes after we've given everything we've got, our body was just keeping on going until the crisis is over. But then exhaustion catches up. Think about a firefighter in a major fire. They're carrying equipment. They're climbing stairs. They're fighting the heat and smoke to save lives. But when the danger is over and the adrenaline drops, all of a sudden they realize how exhausted they really are. And Elijah came down from the mountain in a crash. And we may have just fought a battle today. Our family may have just come through a crisis. We may have just reached the top of something in ministry that God has called us to. But maybe we came through a season of spiritual warfare and God, he had really showed up for us. And so now we're wondering, why am I so tired? What's wrong with me? Why am I exhausted? Well, maybe it's because we've been fighting. And the victory, it cost us something. To get to the top of that mountain, we had to give everything we had. And so now we're wondering, well, I just had a victory. Why am I so weary? It doesn't mean we're finished. It doesn't mean we're not any good. It doesn't mean we're backslid. Sometimes the mighty grow weary. Did you know that weariness affects our vision? I can remember one time going several days with very little sleep. And I remember this moment. I was standing at a store. I was looking up at a sign trying to order something. And it was like the words were all jumbled up. Some of them were missing some letters. And I thought, it wasn't the sign. It was my vision. I was so tired. Weariness was affecting my vision. If you listen to Elijah, he was complaining, God, I'm the only one left. Israel has forsaken the things of God. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed the prophets. And I am left. Now they're going to kill me. That's what Elijah saw. But God says, I've got 7,000 who have not bowed their knees. The enemy wants us to feel like we're all alone, like nobody understands what we're going through. Everyone's forsaken us. Even God has forgotten about us. And Elijah's feelings were real. He really felt those things. But sometimes feelings lie to us. And if we're going to do something great for God, there's times that we may genuinely feel hopeless when the situation really isn't hopeless. We may really feel alone, but we're not totally alone. We may feel like we're a failure, but God is up to something good. Hallelujah. I've come to encourage somebody in the Lord today. This is just a chapter you're going through. This is just a season you're in, but God has something great for you. There's a journey ahead. Somebody gave advice to pastors somewhere, and it's been passed on over the years. They said, don't resign on a Monday. Don't resign on a Monday, because every Monday there's going to be an attack. It doesn't matter how good the service was, how many guests were there, how many people got the Holy Ghost. Monday hits hard for pastors. And when we're weary, our vision is affected. Has anybody ever had to drive in a heavy fog? That's not fun. That's stressful. You can't see where you're going. Everything closes in on you. But here's the thing. The road, you can't see it, but it's still there. Where you're going to hasn't just fallen off the map. No, the destination is still there. Somebody didn't go and pull up all the road signs. We may not be able to see them. They're still there, though. And beyond the fog, the world is still there. But our vision has been affected. And it will really mess with our mind. When the mighty grow weary, we start saying things like, nothing's working. Nobody understands. Everybody's against me. Things are never going to change. I can't do this no more. It's no use trying. We're never going to have revival. There's never going to be a breakthrough. I might as well give up. Those things are not true, but in the fog, it looks like it, because our vision is distorted. We're not seeing things right. And 24 hours earlier, Elijah had stood victorious on the mountaintop. Amen. But now he's the most depressed person in the kingdom. What changed? Not God. Not God's calling. Not the anointing on Elijah. What changed? The mighty was weary. And it affected his vision. I need somebody to help me. Brother Cole, come help me. This is Elijah. This is a juniper tree. He goes in the wilderness and he sits under the juniper tree. He basically handed God his resignation letter. Look depressed. Look sad. Look. Look up to God and say, I'm done. What does God do? He lets him sleep. Sleep. Go ahead, lay down. And then the angel comes along and says, wake up, get up and eat. And then what? eats and he drinks. Then the angel said, go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Then the angel comes again and says, get up, get up, get up. Eat, drink again, because the journey's too great for you. Now notice what God didn't say. God didn't say, come on, Elijah, where's your faith? You know better. You're a prophet. You're a man of God. Why are you so depressed? Come on, you get it together, son. Thank you. Thank you. It's surprising what just a little food and a little rest will do for us. Psalms 23:2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I've got an older iPhone. It's not the oldest, but it's not the newest. A few months ago, the battery was just, it was really run down. And I'd charge it, and it just would be gone before I even started using it. And so they put in a new battery. Same old phone, but new battery. Now it does a lot better. You can have the newest, most expensive phone available. It can have lots of storage and memory and have all kinds of apps. It may be the most powerful phone in the market. But when that battery gets to 1%, it doesn't matter what chip you've got in it. It doesn't matter how many apps you've downloaded. Before it goes anymore, it's got to get recharged. The mighty need recharging too. What are we doing to get recharged? Are we taking care of our health? Are we exercising? Are we eating right? Are we getting enough sleep? Are we taking our supplements? All of those things. What about our soul? Are we making sure we're putting God first in life? Are we forgiving others? Are we focusing our mind on the Word of God instead of all the negative things around us? Are we feeding our spirit? Are we praying regularly? Are we fasting? Are we spending time in the presence of God? We've got to recharge ourselves. If we're constantly battling, if we're constantly in the fight, amen, we're going to wear out. The mighty get weary. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What do we do when we get weary? We wait on the Lord. We trust in God. We put our hope in His Word. We pause for a little while and we wait on the Lord to renew our strength. You're not a failure if you're weary today. Even the youths are going to get weary. Even the young men shall utterly fall. Even the mighty grow weary. But we've got to learn to wait on the Lord. He is the source of our strength. He is our help in the time of trouble. And so the enemy's been telling you, yeah, you're wore out, you're done, you don't have anything left. No, it doesn't mean you're finished. In fact, it's evidence that we've got more to do. But we got to get recharged. We wait on the Lord. And we don't ever get to the place that we can do it without God. We don't ever get so spiritual that we don't need the Spirit of God. We still need that still small voice. Elijah was in a cave. I don't really like caves. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have some property, have a cave, a small cave on it, you know, but I don't like to go deep into a cave. It's dark and depressing and dirty and wet. But there's Elijah, and God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And the Bible says the Lord passed by. There was a great and strong wind that rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then there was a still small voice. Sometimes we want God to do something dramatic. Give me a sign, Lord. Change my situation, Lord. Shake some things up. God, move, move, God, move. But what if God is waiting for us to block out the noise around us, to get alone with Him, to be quiet enough so that we can hear that still, small voice, where He can speak to our lives, be still and know that I am God. And so what is God doing in moments like that? And I feel like this, somebody needs to just get this illustration here right now. There's a difference in yelling at somebody across the room and quietly whispering. If we yell, they can stay far from us and still hear us. But if we whisper, what happens if we whisper? They're going to come closer so that they can hear what we're saying. Oh, the still, small voice of the Lord. When God whispers something to us, when He speaks in that still, small voice, He wants us to move closer to Him. He wants us to put some other things aside. He wants us to leave some things behind us. He wants us to move closer to Him because He's got something important to say in our life. Amen. We don't ever get so mighty and so spiritual that we don't still need that still, small voice. And I just wonder today, is there somebody here that you've been in a cave and the mighty has got a little weary and maybe we can't see clearly right now. We don't know exactly where God is taking us and we feel alone and we don't even feel like God knows where we're at and what we're going through, and we're in a cave and it's dark and it's depressing. But in this season when we feel alone, God wants us to be still for a moment and to press in close to Him. And oh, come on, somebody, can you hear the whisper? Can you hear that still small voice? God has allowed this season for a reason. Maybe we just need to slow down for a moment, and maybe we need to get away from all the noise so we can hear His voice. One thing Elijah said over and over and over was, I'm the only one left. I'm by myself. I want to tell you, the mighty need others. Well, I'm strong. I don't need anybody else. I can do it on my own. No, we need each other. One of the greatest wins we talked about of VBS was people coming together. And even after it was done, people were fellowshipping. People were having a great time. There were so many involved. It was exciting. People were strengthened. We need one another. We need one another. And God brought Elijah out of the cave, and He gave him some things to do, but He also gave Elijah a companion, Elisha. He found Elisha plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he passed by him, cast his mantle on him, and Elisha followed him and ministered unto him. We all need one another. There is a move by the enemy that's trying to separate us, that's trying to alienate us, that's trying to get us so wrapped up in our own little world. We talked about it in our class earlier this morning about social media and how you'll see, you know, families sitting around a table and everybody's on their phone. Nobody's connecting face to face. And we're more connected than ever, but we're more separated than ever. We have less friends than ever, but we got more friends on Facebook than ever, but we really got less friends than ever. The enemy's trying to separate us. The enemy's trying to, some of you need to realize one reason why you're so weary, one reason why you're so weak is you don't have some iron in your life that's sharpening iron. We need one another. We need one another. And so we might think, well, nobody's being friendly to me. Okay, will you be the friend that you would want somebody else to be to you? Amen. We try to help. We try to have connect groups, and we try to have events, and we try to have fellowships and all these different things. But sometimes maybe you're going to have to look and say, okay, who else out there is lonely? Who else out there needs a friend? Who else out there needs somebody to teach them a Bible study and just spend time in the Word? And find somebody else that you can be there for them. We need that in this church. Elijah thought he was finished, but God started talking about his future. God started talking about his future and reading in 1 Kings 19 and 15. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And so Elijah gets up, he gets out of the cave, he finds Elisha, he goes on to do what God has called him to do, and that's where somebody is today. You're in a little intermission right now. You're in a little pause right now. It's a season, it's a chapter, but your life is not over, your ministry is not over, your calling has not been rescinded. Amen. You're just supposed to get recharged. You're supposed to get ready. Somebody get ready, get ready, get ready, because there's about to be a season ahead that God is going to take you higher than you've ever been before. We're a little weary right now, but it's because we're just supposed to recharge. We're not supposed to give up. We're not supposed to quit. We're not supposed to stop doing what God's called us to do. We're supposed to just recharge. And here's what I felt for somebody here today. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Woo. Come help me, Brother Long. Come help me, Brother Long. We've been wearing a coat of depression. Depression. We've been a coat of depression. There's been a spirit of heaviness. Some things are a spiritual battle. Let me just talk about that a moment. We think, oh, well, it's just this or that. No, it may be a spiritual battle, because the enemy's trying to take you out, trying to take your family out, trying to stop your ministries, trying to stop your calling, trying to get you offended, whatever it might be. And so we got a coat of depression on. We got a coat of heaviness, a spirit of heaviness that's been affecting us. But God's calling us to take off that coat. Switch. I'm putting on a different coat right now. A garment of praise. God's given me a garment of praise. I'm taking off that spirit of heaviness, and I'm putting on a new garment right now. It's a garment of praise. What does that mean, Pastor? I wake up in the morning, and I feel the heaviness, and I feel the depression, and I feel the discouragement, and I want to be all down in the dumps. But no, I put my feet on the floor, and I said, God, I thank you for another day. God, I praise you for what you're going to do. I don't know what you've got in store for me today, but I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to worship you anyhow. I'm going to give you glory anyhow, because you're able, Lord. There's nothing you can't do. Lord, you're still on the throne. I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Huh. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm calling somebody out of the cave today. I'm coming. I'm calling somebody out of that spirit of heaviness in Jesus' name. We're going to take authority over it right now. That spirit of heaviness, it's not something God has given you. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I've got to take hold of that new garment of praise right now. Come on, I'm coming out of the cave. I'm coming out recharged. I'm coming out with a new fire. I'm coming out with a fresh zeal because God's taking us on a journey. He's not done. He's not finished. He's just getting started. He's just getting started today. Would you stand all over the house? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise today. Some of you have health conditions right now. You don't know how it's going to turn out. Some of you got family situations, and if you're just looking at it with your natural eyes, it looks like all hope is lost. Some of you are facing some battles, and you don't know how in the world you're going to come through it, because in your strength and in your power, you're tapped out. Am I talking to anybody? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The mighty are weary. The mighty are weary. You're not backslid just because you're weary. Now, if you're not praying, if you're not coming to church, if you're not being faithful, yeah, you might be backslid, okay? I'm just talking about people that you've been faithful. You've been trusting God. You've been trying to do what he's called you to do, and you're just weary. I believe there's been a spirit of heaviness. I believe that's what I started feeling maybe about Thursday or Friday, and I'm like, oh, what is going on? I'm so depressed. I even had the thought a time or two, but Lord, if you're going to take me, just take me right now. You know, that's not the Lord. That's a spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it doesn't make sense to praise God in your situation. I know it doesn't make logical sense to give God glory for what your family's going through. I know it. Where'd that go? I know it doesn't make sense in the natural. To have whatever the situation is. In your health, in your family, in your finances. What do you got to praise God for? I don't know. All I know is I can't deal with this spirit of heaviness anymore. I'm putting on a garment of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And in my weariness, I'm going to summon enough strength to say, God, you're still able. And even if I die, you're still on the throne. You're still worthy. What's the worst that could happen, Caleb? We die. Sometimes you got to just confront the worst because the enemy will tell you all, well, this could happen. This. What's the worst thing that could happen? You could die. Oh, that's horrible. Well, yes and no. If you live for Jesus, if you've got the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. Somebody needs to put on a garment of praise today. I'm praising. What was that first song? Something about heaviness. I'm taking off my heaviness. Put those lyrics up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody's taking off some heaviness. That's a confirmation from the Lord right there. We didn't plan that. We didn't plan that song. But I knew that's what I was preaching about today, a spirit of heaviness. Amen. That's a confirmation right there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm taking off my heaviness. What's it?
dancing out of my regret.
Dancing out of my regret. I don't care what. Sing it.
No, I am not ashamed to praise thy.
Start again.
I'm shaking off the heaviness.
There we go.
I'm dancing out of my regrets. I'm throwing caution to the wind. No, I am not ashamed to praise like this.
Hold on just a second. Hold on just a second. I'm shaking. What is it? I'm shaking off my heaviness. Folks, I want to tell you something. I didn't tell anybody about this, but this has been one of the most depressing weeks for me, and I don't even know why. And I thought, what am I doing? What's the deal? In all, you know, my vision got a little off. And I'm preaching to you, but I'm really preaching to me, okay? That was a confirmation from the Lord right there. I didn't know what songs. I guess I got the list, but I don't know these songs. And I'm preaching about the spirit of heaviness. And look what we started with today in this service. That's a confirmation to this man right here. It ought to be a confirmation to you right now. Yes. I'm shaking off my heaviness. Somebody just do that right now. Throwing caution to the wind. And I am not ashamed to praise like this. Some would say it's foolishness. Oh, yes. But I'd say it's worth the risk. Oh, I can't forget what Jesus did. Yes, and I am not ashamed to praise like this. Where are those chains that once held me? I'm free, I'm free. Young guy, I'm free. My sin has gone. Oh, yes, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free.
Look at what the Lord has.
Oh, yes, I'm never going back to the way I was. I'll sing, I'll dance, and I'll believe.
I'm free, I'm free.
I want them just to sing this again. You do what you feel right now, but I want you to put on a garment of praise. Come on, somebody's coming out of a cave today. Somebody's been weary. You felt that spirit of heaviness, but the Lord has sent a pastor to preach to you. It's not over. It's not over. God's not finished. He's just getting started, but we got to get recharged today.